Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount, and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about the LEED Carpenter system in residential remodeling with the help of Sean Delaney of Wind Design Build in Falls Church, Virginia. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey everyone, this is Tim the Tool Man. Oh no, that's not right. Tim Fowler signing in here. Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where we talk about production and all the things that are associated with that in the remodeling industry. So we're going to be talking about the LEED Carpenter system today, and I've been yakking about this for, I don't know, probably 30 years, it seems like. But I've been doing some seminars recently where I've been talking about all the different changes that have occurred in the remodeling world in terms of production management. And one of those that's very, very prominent is the LEED Carpenter system. We had a little glitch a few years back, or a little burp in the situation, where project manager was being talked about more and more with companies. But with the recession over at this point and getting back on track, the LEED Carpenter system is really taking a leap forward again. So this started back in the 80s. I joined a company in Maryland where they were using the LEED Carpenter system in its infancy. I was a LEED Carpenter there to start with, and then eventually became a production manager. The way this really got going was that business owners who were the one-man band, as we typically call them, you know, started getting so busy, and the business aspect of our companies really started taking hold. In other words, it was more about the business than it was about one person making a living for their family. And so when that happened, the business owners needed somebody that could be on site, get the work done, but could also manage the jobs. And so the LEED Carpenter system was born.
Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to remind everyone that registration is now open for the second annual production conference. Last year was a huge success, selling out a month before the date. Well, this year we're doing it again, and it's being held Thursday, September 27th in New Orleans. It's a full day of information sessions, breakouts, and networking with other remodeling production professionals. Oh, and best of all, you get to hang out with Tim. If you're interested, go to www.productioncon.com for more information, or you can get the link from the show notes. Let's get back to the show.
Now, every system has benefits and drawbacks, and so we're going to be talking with Sean about what's good about it and maybe even what are some of the things where this may not work as well in some situations as we would like it to. The reason we've got Sean on today is they have a very well-run system. It's very developed. They've got it, in air quotes, under control. and it's a company that consistently hits margins, which is kind of amazing in today's world. But they also enjoy a great customer relationship while they do fairly large scale projects in the area where they work.
Tim, my biggest question as we start out is, what is makes a company want to bring on the LEED Carpenter system? Is it for all companies?
Well, in my opinion, it's not for all companies, but I do think companies bring it on primarily because they need that on-site presence, or they value that on-site presence, as well as good craftsmanship. And so a LEED Carpenter typically stays on the job as well as does the work.
Well, without further ado, let's bring on Sean Delaney of Wind Design Build in Falls Church, Virginia. He's currently the production manager there. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Hey, thank you.
So, Sean, I know you inherited some of the system there at Wind when you came on as production manager. Let's just start with your general good impressions. What do you like about the way things work there in that LEED Carpenter system?
Well, I think you kind of hit on in your intro there, basically value, quality of work, you know, valuing the job. Customer relations is also really a big thing, because it's one man, one job. and you get to know the clients, and the clients know that you care about the project instead of just trying to get through like a production job.
Okay, really good. So in a nutshell, give us some of the responsibilities that your lead carpenters have on the job site. We talked a little bit about the the management side of it more than the craft side, because I guess we can assume that anybody who's a carpenter, you know, has to be able to build the project. But what are some of the management tools or management roles that they take on that might typically be a project manager in another situation?
Yeah, sure. In our case, they have complete control of the project. We estimate it, and then once it's in their hands, besides putting up the schedule and doing selections, they control every aspect from scheduling the client meetings, scheduling the subcontractors, the material deliveries. Essentially, in our model, they have 100% control of the project. All I'm there, I'm just supposed to be a backup for them in case they need some help. But we try to make sure that they absolutely are taking care of every aspect of the project. I mean, from literally ordering the lumber to at the end, doing the punch list.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So they're literally doing change orders as well as job logs and managing subs and all that?
Correct. They're doing the daily job logs. They are managing all the subs. I will actually do the change orders, but I'll review it with them and they approve it to make sure that if it's an in-house, that they have enough hours to do the work.
Okay.
Some days they're going to have tool belt on and some days they're going to have the tool belt off. Just depends on what part of the process we're in.
Wow. So I'm sure there's going to be some people listening in on this that are going like, you got to be kidding me. Where do you find people like this? Are these like miracle carpenters that, you know, somehow you're able to graft, amazing people into them? Or, I mean, the question is either how do you develop this in somebody, or how did you know you had it when you got the lead carpenters that you have?
Well, I mean, obviously, it depends on the individual. We have one individual that started out as a laborer and then worked to a helper and grew up in the system. They just saw how it was before they came and they were taught by the lead carpenter. Others that are brought in, it's just a matter of helping them understand how we work. We're pretty rigid in the way we do things. And after a couple projects, they understand what the expectations are. If you plan ahead, it's not particularly hard to do this. It's the problem I think what people have is they're reacting. Once you start reacting and or letting the client run the project, then that's when you see trouble. Otherwise, you should always be looking ahead.
So you made an interesting comment about letting the client run the project. A lot of business owners are afraid of letting their craftsmen interact with the client. Have you done some training or some ways in which you're confident your leads aren't, I don't know, giving away the ship or saying something that they shouldn't be saying on the job site? Is there some way you've been able to handle that? Because I think that's one of the most fearful things for a lot of business owners.
Yeah, I can understand that. Sometimes I think people can be a little too empathetic to the client. I mean, they're good people and they want to help them out. I think we do a weekly meeting of all the leads and we kind of discuss issues and stuff like that. And then we kind of do a little teaching of, hey, if this case, the client was looking for a little X or something here, we have to understand that costs money. And then kind of teaching tools like that help. Also, experience is key there. I think as long as you're a lead carpenter in the lead carpenter system, you'll see when the client's not trying to edge you for something, but you know, they're kind of asking, please.
I understand that people will ask for what they want. And if we give it to them, they'll take it. And I'm right. The same way, you know, I'll go to places and I'll say, can I have that? And they'll say yes or no. If they say no, I buy it. If they say yes, I take it, you know, it's not because I'm a bad person. So.
But also you can go too far the other way. Cause we've had one gentleman who worked for us who was so rigid that he came across cold. So it's a fine balance because customer relationship is, you know, that's your next lead. They're going to develop leads for you. So you don't want to be so rigid and so cold that there's not a good connection with the lead carpenter.
Okay. So it sounds to me like your leads, for lack of a better term, really own the job. If they're doing everything other than a little bit of interaction with you, how do you get them to have that much ownership of the job? And maybe, I mean, again, I'm sure people are wondering, like, how do you get them to think about the job and not just walk away when there's a problem?
Well, I think the big thing about ownership is you can't dip your toe in the water kind of thing. You got to jump all in. You have to be completely prepared, fully understand the project before you start it. And that's how you get ownership. And, you know, and you don't take monkeys from the lead. I don't know if the people are going to get this, or because you and me know this, but basically, when I started at Wynn, one of the problems we had was a lot of the lead carpenters were passing stuff off that the other production manager would just do for them.
Right.
And when we started turning it back on them, and, you know, by the end, in the last 2 years, now I don't get calls. It just gets done. Sometimes we try to help too much.
So the monkeys that Sean's referring to comes from the book, The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey, and recommended reading for anybody that's going to be managing people. It's an amazing little book about how you don't take on everybody else's responsibilities. And so, Sean, you were saying that the challenge for you was making sure that you push those back to the leads, and that by doing that, they were able to take on responsibility.
Correct. And then they in turn do the same thing to the people that report to them, subcontractors, material people. You know, it's simple as letting the lumber guy do the lumber takeoff instead of you doing the lumber takeoff. And then you can check it. But just things like that frees up time so you can work on the next thing. Again, that's just about everyone doing their job. That's what that equates to.
Sean, so I have two questions here. What is the capacity of one lead carpenter, and how do you determine that?
If you're doing the lead carpenter system, typically it's one man, one job.
Okay.
Now, if you want to switch to a hybrid system where it's a project manager / lead carpenter, you can handle two jobs, but you're going to need, or even three jobs, but you're going to need more support from a project manager. That just happened to us last year.
So what happened last year?
Well, last year we were, we had three leads, and we had three jobs, and all of a sudden we had so much sales come in. That we ended up, every man had two jobs at the same time in July, August, September, and even one had three because we unfortunately had to let someone go. So we're in a situation where one gentleman has never done project management before, went from being a lead carpenter to having three jobs.
Yeah, wow.
And with support, we got through it, but it obviously is more difficult to handle.
And then the other question is basically a chicken or the egg scenario. If somebody's currently, you know, out there listening and they don't have the lead carpenter system, they're a smaller contractor, they're growing and want to incorporate it, of their current people, do they, how would they kind of re-interview or break them into that system? And then hiring on in the future, what are they looking for in terms of that person?
Well, I'm assuming if they're coming from a project manager, I mean, obviously they actually have to be a tool belt on type person that understands how to frame, understands true carpentry from A to Z, and be willing to put the tool belt on. You know, this isn't holding a cup of coffee and, you know, pointing fingers.
Yeah.
It's getting your hands dirty and everything from helping with, you know, helping from the foundation through. So that's the one thing, they have to be willing to get dirty. From a aspect of interviewing, also it could be a problem where if you're used to handling three or four jobs, one job might be too slow for that individual. So they have to be, with, you know, kind of embrace the pace of the project.
So is there do you think there's a size limit on the job? And I know your business is in the Washington, D.C. area, so that may not reflect to Westerly, Rhode Island, for example, where I live, in terms of dollars and cents. But is there a size limit to the type of jobs that your lead carpenters can handle effectively?
Yeah, it's kind of like a bell curve. I think you have two ends of the bell curve. The lead carpenter is in the middle. So I think really, honestly, a small project where like a bathroom, really you're there for just a small period of time, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You can easily sub that out and just get it knocked out quickly with trades. Because you're not going to have anyone that's a licensed plumber, electrician, and mechanical person. And then the other end, when you get to an extremely large project, like a new house, there are so many aspects to it. It just doesn't make sense to have a lead carpenter trying to do a framing and trim. It's impossible. So those, I think the niches between is mid-sized jobs, you know, renovations, additions, kitchens, whole house remodel is perfect for it. But when I think after that, you get to new houses and really, really large one-year projects, then I think you go back to the project management system.
Yeah. Well, that's typically the way I've seen it. And I wanted to comment about running two or three jobs. The thing that I have seen typically with lead carpenters is if they have a couple of jobs, you have to have more support carpenters because work still has to be done on the job while the lead is off, you know, taking care of another job. And so it you have to have people on board either way. But I think what companies have trouble with is finding that lead quality, but they can find carpenters. So typically they have a couple of jobs going on.
Correct.
So one of the things that's been, you know, has always been talked about in the lead carpenter systems is bonuses. And so I'm just wondering, do you guys have any kind of a bonus structure, or is there any kind of a way that you reward success on your jobs for these guys?
Well, we don't do bonuses per job. We do have an end of the year bonus for performance. Okay. And that's kind of a combination of how did the job quality, client satisfaction is obviously huge, and then obviously our gross profit on the project. Additionally, we do reviews. For us, we do reviews and we give raises. That's what I like to do. I don't like to incentivize people per the job because I think it's sometimes they're looking for that bonus. Right. And even if the job could hit 35% or whatever it's supposed to make and the client's not happy, then that's a failed project.
Okay.
So I'd rather just do reviews twice a year and give raises to people who are deserving.
So I want to go back to the customer service thing. What do your leads do that are specifically related to customer service, and why the lead system for you really addresses your customer service importance there?
Sure. I think some of the key aspects of that is the individuals that we've hired are very personable, caring people that they're not just showing up to do the job, you know, 7 to 3:30. They care about the project and they care about the clients. And you can see it. You know, you can see a person that comes to work and is just punching the clock, and you can see someone that is passionate about what they do.
Right, right.
And that's first. I think that's first is key. And then secondly, they get to interact with the client usually every day, first thing in the morning. Just a 5-minute conversation can make the difference. It's just the way they approach, and this being extremely respectful, and, you know, and kind of following the golden rule of treating people how you wish to be treated. And those are kind of the key aspects to have a client feel comfortable with the people that, you know, we're invading their house.
Right.
We're in their life. Mm-hmm. For us, it's a business. For them, it's personal. It's very different from commercial.
Yeah. I've often thought about the fact that when one of us goes into somebody's house to work, it's just another day for us. I mean, it's dust, it's dirt, it's cabinets, it's whatever. And for them, this is total disruption, especially if it's a bathroom or a kitchen or some space in the house.
Correct. All of the above. I mean, can you imagine being a family with no kitchen and you're all living there and you got two kids that are under 10 years old? That's not a fun time.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And Sean, when do you introduce the lead carpenter to the homeowner?
They meet the lead carpenter typically on our walkthrough for final pricing.
Okay.
So we like to have our carpenter that doesn't always work out, but the one we're projecting to be there, they will meet them then. That also allows that carpenter to review all the budget before we sign the contract. So again, Tim, as you were talking about earlier, they buy in to that budget and they own it before we start. So they basically meet the client then, and then also we do a pre-construction walkthrough where they'll have a second opportunity to meet them before we start the project.
Does that happen a couple of weeks ahead of the start, or when does that typically happen?
The pre-construction's typically, it could be anywhere from a month to 2 weeks. Just depends on the size. And as you know, permits are permits. So you never know what's going to
happen. Yeah, it's what I'm finding is that it's different all over the country. Some places you take six weeks to get a permit or 8 weeks to get a permit.
Right. In our location, like that. Depending on the jurisdiction, it's the same thing. It's, 3 months in DC to, a walkthrough in Fairfax sometimes. So
I think you mentioned earlier in the conversation that your leads are doing a weekly meeting with the client. Do they have something like that set up? What does that involve, and what are some of the topics they go over?
Sure. We always set up a standing meeting with the client that is once a week. And the topic will be, old business from what's been done, what to look for, looking for what's coming up, what selections that if they haven't been made, we're going to need. And then there's some critical ones like the pre-drywall walkthrough where we check, make sure all the electrical is done and everything is put in correctly so we can do the drywall and not have to change anything. So that's kind of a milestone. And then a final walkthrough is another milestone.
Very good. So as we are starting to wrap this up, Sean, what two little nuggets would you give out to somebody if they were seriously considering either using the Lead Carpenter system or I guess that's one topic. And then the other one might be, what would you recommend to someone who already has it in place that might be like, if you just did this, it might improve it a little bit?
Again, I think it's going to come back to accountability and ownership. Okay. I think that's the key. I mean, I was thinking about this, and it, to me, it always comes back to accountability. If you can get your guys to buy in, you're going to be so much better off than someone that's fighting you. And if you really want to go that way and someone's not buying in, you got to move forward maybe in a different direction. I think for a production manager, you can't be afraid to fail. But you don't want to drag dead weight with you that doesn't have the same vision as you do. And that's kind of critical.
Yeah, I wrote down here on a little piece of paper your comment of all in. And that hit me as an incredible insight that a lot of companies kind of go halfway, but they think they have the Lead Carpenter system. In other words, yeah, we give them everything except the schedule and the budget and talking to the client, but they're still Lead Carpenters, right? Or, they get all this stuff, but we don't give them this because we're afraid to give them that. And I really liked your tying together of the all in and the ownership and the accountability.
I disagree. I mean, I totally agree.
So
that's the critical thing. I think in business, you got a leadership of the company that wants to go a certain direction. You got to give the production staff the ability to do their job. And then the production staff has to give the lead carpenters their ability, and you got to give them support too.
Is that something going in does a lead carpenter start as a lead carpenter? How can you determine that all in mentality, or is that a part of the hiring, part of the training?
Well, it depends. Again, some people you have to, it doesn't start 100% as always. We have one individual, the individual that started as a helper, it's been kind of just working every project a little more in. And then, we also gave him books about management, the monkey book. And I think that clicked for him. It's like, oh, I have a lot of monkeys I'm giving out.
What book is that you're referencing?
The 1 Minute Manager Meets the Monkey Book, which is, it's a quick read and it's a powerful read. So I think you can mold people slowly. And there's some people that just get it right away. You don't want to be forceful about it, but you just have to, I kind of think of it's the, for me, it works best to put the frog in the cold water and warm up the pot. That's kind of the way you do it. And because sometimes if they're giving you pushback by the end, they don't know that they're doing everything anyway.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Sean, thank you so much for being a part of the show. We wish you best of luck moving forward. Take care.
All right. Thank you.
So Tim, I know this is your wheelhouse. What did we learn today and what is your nugget?
Wow. I think the thing, as I've already said, the thing that really captured me was this idea of the company and then the lead carpenters being all in. And as long as I've been talking about this system for people, that explains to me why in some cases it doesn't work and in other cases it really works. And so that's the big deal to me. Business owners trusting the people that work for them enough to feed them the information they need and then expecting them to perform in return. It's a huge thing for me.
Yeah. And if you're looking at a company, is this something that there's really nothing that can transcend this system? It can just grow along the way. And as you grow with lead carpenters, what happens in between the lead carpenter and the production managers?
Well, so the idea was thrown out there today by Sean that when they got to a point where they were selling more jobs than they had physical bodies, that one of their guys sort of became more of a project manager than a lead carpenter. Because once you've got three jobs going, it's almost impossible to be a carpenter on all three of them. You end up doing mostly management. And so what we see happening is at a certain level, this is the best system that you can use, in my opinion. And then as you get a company that's getting up into the higher dollar numbers for remodeling companies, then probably moving to a little more of a hybrid, like Sean suggested, of project manager with lead carpenters out in the field, that sort of thing, does become a little more manageable, I guess. Mm-hmm.
My big question has always been, how do you plan it so that the lead carpenter is not twiddling his thumbs at any time? So how is it planned so that if you have the plumbers coming through, it's a smaller house, whatever the scenario is, electricians, flooring, what are the carpenters doing? Because they're on site during that time, correct?
Well, yes. And that's a challenge, but it's up to the lead carpenter to create a schedule where they're effectively working. When I did lead carpentry just not too many years ago with a kitchen and bath company, you know, I made it a list of all the things I had to do while the plumber was doing his thing. So I was constantly busy on the site. And that's one of the challenges, but it's not undoable.
Yeah. So fantastic. Another great show. Thank you again for listening to the Tim Fowler Show.
Remember, we're helping the bottom line through production training. Take care, everyone.
This has been another episode of the Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.